This year is the Onishmas Chai Bas Tveria. Somebody asked me the following question. He was a vendor who provided a specific service to nursing home assisted living facilities. And as is the industry standard, the facilities were not responsible to pay for the services until 90 days after the services were provided. Now, he was a newer company, and this led to some cash flow problems. So he was looking into different financing options. One of the options he came across was from another Jewish company, and it was a form of accounts receivable purchasing, sometimes referred to as factoring. Under this arrangement, the vendor had $10,000 of outstanding invoices, and he was going to sell the invoices to the factoring company for $9,500. The factoring company would pay him over the next couple of days, and the factoring company would now be the ones responsible to pursue the customers and collect the money, but they will eventually be entitled to the full $10,000. And the question is there any ribbis problem with this arrangement? Perhaps one could say, since the factoring company is advancing $9,500 today, and they're receiving $10,000 at a later date, this would resemble an interest-bearing loan. Or since the factoring company is purchasing the invoices, this transaction would be considered a sale and not a loan, and this ribbis would not apply. Now, this question is relevant in many other areas of business. There's a very common market for where people sell debt, promissory notes, bonds. It's especially relevant in the secondary mortgage market, where we have Jewish-owned companies or funds who are buying mortgage-backed securities from other Jewish companies. And Emir Teshem and Future Shirim, I'd like to go through all these scenarios. But as related to our question, the Shulchan Aruch Yardea Simekufayin Gimel Sif Dalet discusses a lender who was looking to sell a debt that was owed to him to a third party for a discount. Let's say, for example, a lender was owed $100, and he was looking to sell the debt to a third party for $90. And the Shulchan Aruch writes that as long as the buyer is assuming all liability, that in the event the borrower is either unable or refuses to pay, the buyer will stand to suffer that loss, and the seller would be allowed to keep the money he received. This arrangement would be considered a sale, and this ribbis would not apply. According to many poskim, a valid kinyan must be done, but on a practical level, as long as the parties execute whatever the legal transfer of ownership is, according to many poskim, this would suffice. However, if the seller is retaining liability, that in the event the borrower defaults, he will reimburse the buyer, this transaction would be considered a loan and the issur ribbis would apply. The understanding of this is, ownership of debt is defined by the one who stands to suffer the loss if the borrower doesn't provide payment. And this being the case, since the seller is still assuming that risk, we cannot consider that the buyer is purchasing the debt today. And therefore, we're left with a transaction where the third-party buyer is advancing money without receiving anything in return today, and he's receiving additional funds at a later date, and this would resemble an interest-bearing loan. Whether this is a question of ribbis d'rabbanan or ribbis d'oraisa would depend on the following. If the seller is only committing to buy back the debt and reimburse the buyer for the purchase amount, here the mashmaos of the rishonim is that it would only be a question of ribbis d'rabbanan. However, if the seller is committing that in the event the borrower does not provide payment, he will reimburse the buyer the full amount of the loan, or any amount more than what he received, the Marit and many other places can maintain that this would be a violation of ribbis ksutza. Now, to point out, this issur ribbis applies even where the original loan between the lender and borrower was a non-interest loan. As here, the issur ribbis exists on the transaction between the third party and the lender. As since the third party is advancing money today, and he's receiving additional funds at a later date, and we are unable to consider this arrangement a sale, the transaction between the third party and the lender is where this ribbis applies. Another point, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes that even where the seller is only acting as a guarantor, meaning that the buyer can only pursue the seller after taking the borrower or customer to Beis Din and being unable to collect from him there, and only then would the buyer have the ability to pursue the seller, even so, since ultimately the seller will be the one who will stand to suffer the loss, and he will be the one responsible to reimburse the buyer, we'd be forced to consider the transaction a loan in which the issur ribbis would apply. Now, this that it's forbidden for the seller to assume liability is only regarding losses directly tied to the borrower, such as the borrower's inability or refusal to pay. However, it is permitted for the seller to accept liability that in the event the loss is tied to the seller. For example, there's a dispute in the debt, such as the borrower claiming that it had already been paid up, or that it was filed incorrectly, or it is found that the lender already assigned this debt as collateral to a different creditor prior to selling the debt to the buyer. In all these scenarios, since the loss is tied to the seller, it would be permitted for the seller to accept liability. Furthermore, there are Ma quotes Tshuva Rashba that says, Even if the loss is due to a completely exterior reason, such as the government demanding that all lenders forgive outstanding debt, here too it would be permitted for the seller to assume this risk, as the prohibition is strictly that the seller is not allowed to assume the risk directly tied to the borrower, again, such as the borrower's inability or refusal to pay. So to summarize, where a lender is looking to sell a debt owed to him to a third party for a discount, as long as the buyer is assuming the risk that in the event the borrower is unable or refuses to pay, the buyer would stand to suffer that loss, this arrangement would be considered a sale and the shibboleth would not apply. And as long as the parties execute the normal transfer of ownership, this arrangement would be permitted. However, if the seller is retaining liability and that in the event the borrower is unable or refuses to pay, the seller would reimburse the buyer, this arrangement would be considered a loan and this shibboleth would apply. Getting back to our shiloh, we have a vendor who is looking to sell $10,000 of outstanding invoices to a factoring company. The halacha would seemingly depend on how the arrangement is structured. There are typically two forms of factoring, known as recourse factoring and non-recourse factoring. Recourse factoring is where the factoring company has recourse, meaning that in the event the customer does not provide payment in some predetermined date, the factoring company has the right to force the seller to buy back the invoices. Now, under this arrangement, since the seller is the one who's ultimately assuming the risk, we would be forced to consider this transaction a loan and not a sale, and this shibboleth would apply. Now, there is a heteriska that can be used to circumvent this problem. It works a little differently than a typical heteriska, so if the shiloh ever comes up practically, one should mention to his rav that he needs a heteriska specifically designed for selling debt. There is a less common form of factoring known as non-recourse factoring, and under this arrangement, the factoring company does not have recourse, which means that if the customer does not provide payment, the factoring company would suffer the loss. And this arrangement would seemingly be permitted, as since the factoring company is the one who is suffering the loss, this transaction would be considered a sale, and this shibboleth would not apply. However, on a practical level, even in many non-recourse agreements, there are many exclusions or stipulations in which the factoring company would have the right to demand that the seller buy back invoices. Now, as long as these exclusions are tied to disputed invoices or other reasons, this would still be permitted. However, many arrangements stipulate that if the customer is refusing to cooperate with the factoring company would be allowed to demand the seller to buy back the invoice. Now, this exclusion may be problematic, as this is seemingly implying that if the customer is refusing to pay, the seller would be responsible, and this would force us to consider the transaction a loan, and in which the shibboleth would apply. And therefore, the parties must be sure that none of the exclusions are tied directly to the borrower's inability or refusal to pay in order for this arrangement to be permitted. In Merchem, the next year, we'd like to discuss what's known as merchant cash advance arrangements, which in certain ways are similar to factoring agreements in that the company is buying a merchant's accounts receivables. However, it's different from a factoring company with regard that factoring companies buy existing invoices as opposed to a merchant cash advance agreement in which the company buys the merchant's future accounts receivables. And I would like to discuss how these halachos apply to such an arrangement.